Welcome to this episode of the Soul Frequency Show. I'm Shauna Lee, modern day woman living a mystical life. And as I'm sitting here thinking about life and the whole journey of it all, I just can't help but say thank you for this experience. The experience of being with you, this experience of life, I just have a lot of gratitude and a lot of gratitude for what my guest today is going to share with you about. She's going to be sharing about speaking to spirit, calling on greater guidance, and how we can be more connected. And the reason that I feel so grateful is that life has its fair shares of ups and downs, right? And times where we have opportunities for growth and times that we get called up to trust ourselves and something greater than ourselves. You know, things aren't always easy in life, right? And you might find that this episode offers you a new perspective on life and even some things that you may be experiencing currently or have experienced in the past. My guest today has traveled the world and has many, many, many gifts to share with you. In this episode, she says, "The way I deal with all of the collective energies is really just to bring it back to my internal experiences, because as you said, there seems to be a lot of amplification going on. You know, the divisiveness and the shadow energies that we see are simply the balance of the very powerful light that is happening right now. It seems to me people are definitely waking up and remembering in a way that has never happened before, and this is very exciting. And yet sometimes I have people sending me information about the kind of stuff you're talking about, and they feel overwhelmed. And so I like to remind people, yes, things feel amplified. Yes, things feel like they're moving very quickly. And yes, we're waking up in a way that is unprecedented. And let's bring it all back internal. Are you grounded? Are you breathing into your belly? Are you in alignment? Are you in integrity? Are you walking your path poco a poco, bit by bit? Stay focused on how you can be a medicine carrier in the world, medicine being things that support, empower, and heal people." Are you guys ready for this? This one's going to be so, so good. This week I had Reiki master, clairvoyant, clairaudient, and shaman Bloom Post on the show. She's been speaking to spirit and receiving intuitive and energetic information since childhood. As she grew up, she felt drawn to shamanism and indigenous cultures. Her first teachers taught her how to use her abilities to heal herself and to empower others to self-heal. She has extensively studied things such as forming a deeper connection with nature, connecting with spirit guides and animal totems, stalking her power, shape-shifting, cloaking and invisibility, energetic and psychic protection, and so much more. Her work has evolved over the almost two decades she's been a healer, and she's traveled to many countries working with teachers such as an Appalachian seer, Native American elders, Buddhist monks and nuns, and Hindu swamis. And on today's episode, Bloom shares about the power of ceremony, how we can integrate our experiences, and how to live in reciprocity with the planet and each other. So with no further ado, the deep wisdom of Bloom Post. Hey, Bloom, I'm so happy to have you on the show today.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here. I appreciate it.
Yeah. And so I love your work. I am newer to it, but I've been doing a lot of research about it. And so I think this is going to be a really powerful conversation and one that is going to have a lot of aha moments for people. And so I always like to start off just having you share a little bit about your life experience and kind of what has brought you to this moment. And, you know, we all have a story that brings us to doing the work that we do. So what is yours?
Sure. Well, the first thing I'd like to offer up to anybody listening is just a reminder to take a moment and breathe into your belly, because we are going to talk about some really wonderful things and some deep things. I can already tell. I can feel the energy of it. And it's good for me to remember to breathe into my belly.
Yes.
Consistently remind my clients and students that's really the most important thing. If we're breathing into our belly, everything else comes from there. So on that note, how did I get here? It's always such a good question. Let me give you the bullet points. I grew up very intuitive and empathic, but I didn't understand what was going on. And I was receiving information and I was literally sometimes seeing things and didn't have anybody to guide me as to what was happening. So I was taking things on that weren't mine. And I'm sure there's a lot of empaths that listen to your show who totally resonate and understand what I'm talking about. And over you know, a couple decades of taking on things that weren't mine, it started to get really challenging and a little scary because I wasn't able to filter all of the energies from other people coming in my direction. And I have a TED talk, which goes more into this, but I ended up checking myself into a psych ward because I really thought I was losing it. And I stayed there for about 7 or 8 days. And when I got out of there, about 2 months later, I found the very first shaman I started working with. And much like Maladoma Patrice Somme, who I mentioned in the TED talk, this shaman said to me the opposite of what was being said to me at the hospital. He was saying, "You might be crazy, but it's in a good way. Let me show you how to use it." And that completely changed my life because all of these things that I thought were weighing me down and were a curse and, oh, I'm so sensitive and how do I do this? And, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm losing my mind because I'm psychic. I didn't know that I was psychic. I didn't know that I was intuitive. I didn't know that I was an empath. I just felt completely overwhelmed. And I started studying with him in 1999, end of 99, and changed my life. There was finally someone to say, these are gifts. This is the birth of you as a shaman. This is the birth of you as a healer. It feels like a breakdown because it's a breakthrough. It's an initiation. And that completely changed my life. And I continued to study with him and learn and then study with other teachers and keep learning and started sharing. People started asking me to work with them before I felt ready. So I did it for a year or two, just practice. And then the rest is history. I just started working with people and sharing circles. And people would say, how do you do what you do? And I'm like, well, I just do it. Let me figure out how to teach it to you. And then I would start sharing workshops. And it's been almost 20 years now.
Wow, that's incredible. And you know what? I mean, after having, you know, 40 or so guests on the show and then my own life experience, I mean, I think a lot of people really feel that confusion where they're having, you know, they're empathic or they have psychic gifts and they're in an environment that where nobody understands that and nobody knows how to cultivate that. And you really can feel crazy. I mean, I have a similar life story as you in those early years, and you just feel different and you don't know that that different is your special and what makes you you and what you can use to help humanity. And so I just think it's powerful. Every time I hear that story, I think it's powerful for those listening who are feeling alone or separated to understand that maybe you're just not yet around the people who understand all of you.
Totally. I mean, you phrased that so well. That's just beautifully stated. And not everyone's experience is as extreme as mine. I am definitely called to a shamanic path, and I've been through some big initiations. And I feel that those initiations support me in holding space for others in their dark night of the soul or their confusion, or even if they're just waking up and going, there's more to life than living to work and working to live. What am I here for? I mean, it doesn't always have to be an extreme experience to know that there's more. And I really enjoy seeing people wake up to their gifts and their potential and waking up to themselves as healers, because as far as I'm concerned, everybody on the planet can be a healer. I mean, I feel that it's our natural state to want to help each other. And some people get so wounded that they don't go in that direction, but you don't necessarily have to set up a storefront and call yourself a healer to be a healing agent of change, a spiritual being in a human experience, you know? So I love the way you phrase that. And I love when people find me and the community that I work with and go, ah, here's my tribe. Oh, these people get me. I can be different here. I can be weird here. I can talk about things that my family won't let me talk about or my friends think are weird. And we go, oh yeah, I have those experiences too. I love that. So.
Yeah, it's so great. I love how you said that. And it's so true. When we get around people that understand us, there's a beautiful blossoming that can happen just in the presence of people seeing you and being able to hear you and accept and acknowledge and love you. And let's talk a little bit about shamanism for those that might not be familiar with that term. Mm-hmm. How would you describe shamanism or the practice of that?
Yeah, the way I would describe it is not necessarily what you'll get when you Google it, not necessarily what anthropologists would call it. For me, the practice of shamanism is a few things. It's a shaman is someone who can walk between realms, and shamanism are practices based in earth wisdom, really getting reconnected with the earth, remembering and connecting with the unseen realms, and the ability to walk through those realms with ease and to guide others to do the same. That is my personal interpretation of shamanic practices. That's one piece of it. You know, everywhere you go in the world, there's different ideas of what shamanism is. Excuse me. For me, though, it's really about empowering people to remember who they are, really remember our connection with the earth, and be able to connect with the energies that aren't necessarily third dimensional, that are always here to support, whether that's animal totems or plant totems, ancestors, beings of light, archangels, ascended masters, religious teachers like Jesus or Buddha or, you know, Ganesh or whatever resonates for that person, and really empowering people to step into their personal power. And I mean power with a big P, not the power that we see out in the world where people dominate others. That's power with a little P. That's not true power. And so that's how I would define it.
I love that. And so we're living in a powerful time right now on the planet. And how would you describe, like, just from your vantage point, like, the type of time that we're in and what this means for our life and what we're being called up to? I know a lot of people, I posted something that's really interesting, and I know my life has changed drastically since about 2012. And I posted something, you know, where was your life in 2012 in a group that I have? And I got so many people responding to that, the drastic changes and things like where they live, what they do, what they believe, you know, who's in their life. I mean, just really big changes. So can you talk a little bit about what you feel is like happening for all of us?
That's such a big question.
I know.
Love it. But yeah, gosh, you know, I'm going to be honest, the way I deal with all of those collective energies is really just to bring it back to my internal experience. Because as you said, there seems to be a lot of amplification right now. There's the divisiveness and the shadow energies that we see are simply the balance of the very powerful light that is happening right now. So people are definitely waking up and remembering in a way that, I mean, it's not like I've been here that I know of. I've only been here this lifetime about 48 years, but it seems to me that people are waking up right now in a way that has never happened before. And that's very exciting. And I have people sending me all this information about the kind of stuff you're talking about, and they feel overwhelmed. And I really like to remind people, yes, things feel amplified. Yes, things feel like they're moving very quickly. Yes, we are waking up in a way that is just unprecedented, and bring it back internal, bring it back to, are you grounded? Are you breathing into your belly? Are you in alignment? Are you in integrity? Are you walking your path poco a poco, bit by bit, and stay focused on how I can be a medicine carrier in the world, medicine being things that support, empower, and heal people, my personal gifts. And so I totally agree with you that things feel very active right now. The light is very active. The shadow is very active. There's a lot going on energetically. So I remind people to just bring it back home and go internal and find that place of equanimity and balance, so that when those waves of energy are flowing, we can stand steady. We don't get sucked under, because even though it's amplifying and it's really fun and exciting, a lot of people feel overwhelmed.
Yes.
So I like to remind people that as I'm in alignment, and the practices that I work with help keep me in alignment, help me practice moving energy in such a way that when the ocean waves are energetically coming towards me, I can surf them. Not only can I stand strong, I can hop up and surf those babies if I want to. I can have fun with it and not get sucked under, because a lot of people are getting sucked under because they're feeling overwhelmed. So
Yeah. And do you feel, I mean, the word that is coming to mind, like when you say sucked under and stuff, is like a lot of fear around feeling these energies. What would you say to somebody who is, you know, just feeling overwhelmed and fearful about, you know, their own path, not even what's going on collectively, but just, you know, where they're headed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's all connected. The collective fear informs the individual fear. And so that's a great question. And that's why I do the practices that I do. I would support them in connecting with all of the support they have around them, because none of us are doing this alone. We have ancestral support. We have totem support. We have star being support. We have light being support. We have all of the support in all of these other dimensions that most people don't necessarily realize are there, or if they do, they're not sure how to work with it in a tangible way, which is what I support people in doing. So I would encourage people to come and sit, or come and sit with someone, even if it's not me, to remember how to connect in with all of that support that is always there. Because as I mentioned, I've had some powerful initiations, and the initiations don't stop. They just become easier to flow through. The resistance clears and I have more trust and I am more empowered, so that when the initiations come, I have energies that I call on that can support me in such a big way, and oftentimes can do a lot of the work for me. You know, I have a healing team in the realms that I can send to someone, because I get messages every day from people needing support, and I've got to sit with clients and go to the grocery store and do laundry and live life. So I can't always be available to just sit and, you know, send healing energy. And I figured out a number of years ago that my healing team could do it. And when I realized that all I have to do is set that intention, every single one of those people would email back and say, oh, this and this and this happened. And I wasn't focused on it. I simply sent my healing team. And my healing team are these energies that I work with in the realms that I set the intention, and they go and miraculous things happen. And it's just amazing the support that's available to us in what we call the unseen realms once people get tapped in. And I sense that a lot of people who listen to your show, even though what I'm talking about might sound kind of out there, they also know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. It's so interesting, because a friend of mine and I were discussing this, is that, you know, a lot of people have fear in talking about, or, you know, saying like that they've seen a psychic, or that they, you know what I mean, understand these other realms, or, you know, in their regular daily life. And yet a lot of people know this and rely on this for guidance, right? And to understand and to connect and to feel supported, like you said. And so I think it's, this is why I actually started this show, is to have, you know, supportive conversations with people who might be going, yes, I'm experiencing these things, or I have experienced these things, but I don't really have a life where I feel like I can talk to anybody about it, or I don't have anybody that, you know, in my life that honors it, or that is experiencing these things themselves. And yet I need somewhere to go where I can, you know, have like a point of reference for this, and understand that it's our normal, natural state of being, and that it's safe and wonderful. And it's, I think ultimately people's, you know, greatest fear is feeling alone or unsupported. And when you start to realize in these different realms, like the amount of support you have behind you and for you, I think it's a very comforting feeling.
Oh, I totally agree. And I wasn't planning on talking about the TED Talk, but the TED Talk really talks a lot about what we're speaking to and my personal experience of it. And one of the things I share in that talk is, don't go to the post office for milk.
Yeah.
A lot of people are wanting to share, but they take it to people who can't receive it. And yes, then they feel like they need to shut down. And so as you said, it's really important to find like-minded people who are having a similar experience and can see and receive and affirm your experience, so that then you can grow. And I do sense that there's fear of sharing with other people There's also, interestingly enough, over the two decades I've been doing this, there's also a lot of fear in people of actually stepping into their power.
Oh, better, for sure.
Better the devil you know than the angel you don't, kind of thing. And so it's this funny conundrum of, I really want to tell people, but they're not necessarily listening. And now I've found someone who's listening and, oh no, I get to be really big and powerful now. Oh gosh, you know, and it's worth it. I just want to tell anybody listening, it's worth it. I too was afraid of expanding into what I was capable of when I first started this journey 20 years ago. And now I wouldn't change it for anything. It's just, it's so worth it. It's so worth it. And yeah, you just got to find those people who can see and receive and affirm. And also, I encourage people to find somebody who can teach you and guide you so that you can actually be proactive with your gifts. And that's really what begins to bring healing to everybody else, is you're really embodying your gifts and your personal medicine, and your life becomes amazing. Other people go, yeah, what are you doing? And it opens up that door to share. And then you find out all these other people are actually having experiences too, and they didn't know who to talk to.
It's so true. And it's so beautiful. And, you know, let's talk about your shamanic mentorship. It's the perfect time to talk about that. Because it's really beautiful that you bring a collective group of people together. I'm sure it's an incredible group of people. Can you share about what that experience is?
Oh yeah, I'd love to. The mentorship is an online offering that was born from, well, really from people all over the country and all over the world saying, I want to sit with you, but I don't live in Western North Carolina. How do I sit with you? And I was like, oh, I don't know. And so I share ceremonies here regularly. And within the group ceremony, at the end of the ceremony, I'll work with people one-on-one. And what happens when I work with those people one-on-one is that everyone in the ceremony is receiving that same healing. And that was my intention with an online offering, was to come together as a group. And I open every session with a shamanic journey based on what the people in the group have asked for me to do, or if there's a full moon or something happening in the collective that everybody's really feeling. It's always very timely for what's happening at that moment. And after we shamanic journey, then I offer one-on-one support, and everyone in the group is receiving as I'm working with that person one-on-one. And we've just, I mean, I'm going to be honest, I wasn't sure if an online, you know, ceremony, so to speak, was really going to work. And I have been blown away this past year at how potent it is. And what I love about it too, is that we record all of the sessions. So if somebody misses one, they can watch it later. And everyone has access to all of the archives of everything we've done over the last year. And it is so amazing how it's still just as potent as a recording. And people will find something from the archives and share on our private group page on Facebook that, oh my gosh, I needed that right now. It didn't click the way it would have 3 months ago, and now it's totally clicking. And it really, spirit is really running the show. And I'm just so grateful. So that's a way that everybody can work with me. And there's no big upfront, you know, thing. It's just $47 a month. I mean, it's so affordable. It's cheap. I mean, my thing was keep it as affordable as possible. So it's a win, 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 win for everybody. And we're just having such a good time. It's such an amazing group of people. And every single one of them are what we're talking about. People who are looking for a space where they could learn and grow and expand into their gifts with other people who get them. And I'm having a blast with it.
I love that. It's so cool. And you know, with this world that we live in, with technology and being able to connect, you know, to people around the world so easily, we can really draw in. Because a lot of times, you know, I think back when I was young and before really all this technology, and you didn't really know anybody that wasn't just in your direct vicinity. I mean, other than maybe family members that lived across the country or something, but there wasn't that access. And so now it just provides this environment where people of like experience can be drawn, you know, we're all drawn energetically to certain things. And we hear that call, I think this is for me, or I think, you know, or something comes across our path. Like maybe somebody's listening to this episode and they've never listened to the show before. And they just happen to be listening to this episode and feel so drawn to you. And this is an opportunity, you know, then to find a tribe of people that have that common, you know, that common bond and common energy.
I didn't mean to interrupt. I feel that that's part of why things are amplifying. Like you mentioned that before, that where we were in 2012, individually and collectively, and where we are now. I mean, my goodness, the internet and social media can be used in all sorts of ways. And one of the ways it can be used is to bring people together and to find teachers and to find support and to find those places that resonate for you. That, like you said, when we were kids, you may or may not have ever come into contact with those people. So it's really opened up the world in such a big way. And with the mentorship, it's amazing because I've got people from Germany. I've got lots of people in California and I live on the East Coast and people, you know, I'm trying to remember where everybody's from. There was a woman traveling through China for 6 months and she was on the mentorship. And it's just so exciting that we can come together at the Sacred Fire and do this good work together from all over the world and create a really close-knit community online. And that's where my love for social media is. I kind of have a love-hate relationship. I think everybody does.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, ooh, that's the part I don't like. But there's this other side where it can, like you said, it can just open us up to so much that's available to us. And that's exciting. And for that, I'm grateful. It can be a tool of healing. And spirit can speak to us through anything. I have definitely received messages online, you know, and like you said, I'll check out something and it totally resonates. And I know that I need to go to that space or whatever, or work with that person. And as long as spirit, as long as I'm allowing that open communication, spirit can speak through anything.
It's so true. It happens to me all the time as well. And it's like, and you know, I think the more initiations, I love what you said about initiations earlier and how, you know, you continue to go through them and it gets easier by the virtue that you understand what they are and you, you know, call on other things to help you through that. And you don't feel the same level of like uncertainty as you did, you know, with maybe the first one or your first experience of an initiation. But everything just continues, you know, the signs and the messages and all of that just continues to show up in more and more places, over time. And it really does make you feel comforted. It really does make you feel like, wow, this is so extraordinary. And the more you follow them and the more you, you know, listen to your own intuition and let that guide you, the stronger it all becomes.
Oh, I totally agree. And I use the word initiations because I have chosen to see the things that have happened in my life, some of which have been very traumatic, some of which have not been as traumatic, but definitely informed or created wounds in my experience. I choose to see those as initiations so that I'm taking personal responsibility and I'm not a victim. In no way invalidating the things that happened to me. They were not good things. And I'm not giving a pass to the people who did it. For me, however, I realized I could take this and use it as an initiation, be in personal responsibility and really just rock my whole life as big as it can be, or I could continue to be a victim to it. And that, so I want to share that because I use the term initiation and some people might not resonate with that word. Initiations for me are a way of taking what we would say the bad things that happened or the scary things that happened or the traumatic things that happened or the intense shadow things that happened and using it to propel us forward and heal. And that's how I use the word initiation. And as I was listening to you talk, I wanted to clarify that because everybody's had their own experiences that have created wounds. And we really can, you know, no mud, no lotus.
Yeah.
We really can grow from that and really claim our power back. And I happen to have incredibly traumatic experiences from pretty much the time I got on the planet. So it was important to me to shift the energetics, shift my languaging, and really be with that, because I was in victimhood for a long time and had a lot of drama and could not get my life together. And this shamanic path, the shamanic practices that I do and have learned, completely changed my life. So,
yeah, I love it. You know, I just wrote a book and I'm going to send it to you, because I just, from what you shared, feel like it will be something that you will enjoy. And it's coming out in September, but there's a lot of like what we're talking about that is reflected in the book. And I just think that one of the most powerful things people can do is re-language and reframe things.
Yes.
Like, not in victimhood.
Yes, because that's another piece. And I don't know how much time we have left, but I'll just put this
in. Oh, we've got plenty of time.
Yay. Okay. Because one of the ways that I work, I have a YouTube channel, which if you just go YouTube Bloom Post, there's a bunch of videos on there that people can check out and use, and shamanic journey and cord clearings and all sorts of things, lineage clearings, all sorts of things. I love to just offer as much as I can for people to support. That's free, free, free. And in one of the videos, I talk about the word release. And if we release something, we are re-signing the lease. And anything we have resistance to, as you know, persists. So if I'm trying to release it and let it go, make it go away, make it go away, people end up releasing and releasing and releasing and releasing and can't seem to really get that wave to crest and have the culmination of that. So for me, it's become a journey of integration. And all of that was sparked with the understanding of being conscious with my languaging and what I'm creating with my language, because words have power and we spell words. We create spells with words, so to speak. And so I love that you're talking about that, because that's very important. It completely shifts the vibration, how we approach things, how we couch it, how we experience it. So I'm excited about your book. I'm psyched to check that out.
Yeah. So it's interesting. And what I found too, like onto your point about words, is that different words mean different things for different people. And so, like you said, with initiation, like that, you know what I mean? That feels of resonance to you, and that helped shift the energy around it. And so I always like say to people, you know what I mean? Different words have different power for different people. And really finding that language, you know what I mean, that resonates with you and has that power be restored to you, where maybe you have been in victimhood or where you have, you know, cast something aside, is very important. I'm very like, because I talk a lot about frequency in the show, we talk about frequency, there's such a frequency to words. And we have to really be conscious of, you know, of what we are speaking into the world. And so I love that. I love your share on that.
Well, and I've sat with teachers who are very powerful and they use the word release, and it doesn't have the same thing for them. They don't have the same trigger with it. They don't have the same, like you said, it means different things for different people. So they don't have any issues with the word release, and they talk about releasing and they do great work. What I found though, sitting with people, is that they were feeling stuck and the language was part of that. And they kept trying to get rid of things they didn't like, instead of being able to really be present to it and integrate it in such a way that it truly transmutes and transforms. So when I sit with a teacher now and they say the word release, I don't get all worked up about it. I can work with that word, and I can be with that word in a better way now because I'm not in resistance. But shifting my languaging helped me shift that resistance, and now the word doesn't really bother me.
I use release in my work. And it's like, I love that we're having this conversation, because like for me, it's been a powerful word in my healing. But I totally, totally love that we're saying this, because I can see like where it's not for some people, and to feel like you are constantly in a pursuit of releasing something and that's not, you know what I mean, happening for you or at the level that, you know what I mean, that you want. And I love the idea of like integration, right? Yeah. Like, let's just bring this in and embody it and own this experience, like as part of my growth and part of my path. And I truly believe, you know, I've not met a person who has come to the point in their life where they identify themselves and have come to say like, I'm a healer in whatever way, right? Whether it's through their art or, you know, whatever they do, that is a gift to humanity, who hasn't you know, been through many different life experiences that are painful or difficult. And, you know, I think that we all do go through those. And I think that the more that we're able to openly share about that and own those things and understand, you know, I know a lot of my most painful life experiences, like, really were my biggest teachers. They're the things that catapulted my life forward in ways. And I now look back on them, and this is, it's a journey, right? But I look back on a lot of them and I love them. Like, I truly am so, like, glad that they happened, because I wouldn't have had the big realization. I wouldn't have had, you know what I mean, changed my life in certain ways. I wouldn't have, you know, expanded in ways that I needed to had I not experienced those things.
I know. And isn't it funny to think about those times when we just think we're in hell and we're in this dark night of the soul and we're like, stop, make it stop. And now we're like, yes, I rocked that. Look at where I am now. And but at the time, we sure didn't feel that way, did we?
No.
Funny. Yeah, but I totally agree. I mean, I can't imagine my life being any other way. It would have been cool if I could have learned and know and do what I do now. And it could have had more grace and ease, but I just don't see how that would have worked. And we each come here with a soul contract. And I figured out about 20 years ago that my soul contract was, these things are going to happen to get me on this path, to get me doing this work. And this is my calling, and I feel fully committed. And this is 110% for me. This, I play, I have a good time, but I'm not playing. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what I'm here to do. And I feel really grateful to have come through all of that to get me where I am now. I completely agree with you.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, it's like, there are probably many people that listen to your work and feel drawn to your work who have gone through some of those same life experiences. Mm-hmm. And there's something to be said for the type of, like, compassion that one can have when we've been through the same experience as another. And while each experience is unique and different, I just think, you know, sometimes I'm around a lot of different people in the holistic health space and healers and stuff. And it's just, you know, to hear some people's own stories of how they got into that work and how they healed their own body or healed, you know, things in themselves, and, you know, were really up against, you know, disease states or, you know, all kinds of different things that are challenging. It's comforting to be around people who have experienced something similar and to see how someone like yourself has languaged that and healed that in certain ways and understood it and seen it as a force to empower, mm-hmm, and step into your power and move forward, I think is very, very important in how we all help each other.
I agree. And as you said, once we've been through these kinds of experiences, we're then better able to see others, truly authentically see them, because we've really been to the edge. We've walked through the shadow places and we come out with more vision, with more vista. And so probably about 10 years ago, a friend of mine said, you're a cosmic cheerleader. And I thought, what does that mean? I didn't really think that was a compliment. She said, oh, you're able to connect with people and tap in with these unseen places and really see what they're capable of and their potential and what their purpose could be on this planet and all these energies that are supporting them. And you are just such an encourager that you're just cheering them on to really step into their power. And I thought, oh yeah, I'll take that. That's exactly, that feels good. And it's because that's what I needed. You know, we teach what we needed to learn, and I needed somebody to reflect for me my gifts and show me, hey, you can do this. I believe in you. And that's how I feel when I sit with people. And when we do the mentorship, just each person is bringing such good medicine and their gifts. And it's so, it's such a blessing to watch people remember, to see them open up and remember. And like you said, just blossom into that and to be given the opportunity to see people as fully whole and healed, regardless of their current state. Is a real blessing. And I just love it. I mean, this is the kind of thing that I'll study, even if I'm not getting a grade. I'll show up if nobody else is there. I'll do it if whether or not I'm getting paid, like, you know, that kind of thing where they say, whatever that old saying is about, you know, show up even if nobody's showing up or whatever. This is that work for me. I'm going to do this regardless of what anybody else is doing. I will be in ceremony when everybody else is going out doing whatever they're doing, because this is my purpose and my soul calling, and to support other people in finding that kind of passion in their lives is just, it just makes it all worth it. And I believe enough for everybody else. Even people are like, I don't know who my totems are. I don't know. I'm like, I know, I believe, I see it. Let's do this. And they get enthusiastic and they get excited. And you know, we really got to remember to have fun. You know, I used to be real serious about myself and my path, and teachers just would do things that I thought, oh, that's so inappropriate. And then I realized they're just trying to get me to like, bloom, wake up, snap, 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 you know, like relax, have fun. This gets to be fun. There gets to be grace and ease. So I'm at a point on my journey in my life where we get to dive deep, have fun with grace and ease, and truly create miraculous transformation. And what better thing to get up in the morning for?
Oh, it's so great. I love that. And I love the grace and ease and the humor. We had a guest on who was talking about how he brings humor to meditation. He's like, this is not your boring meditation conversation. And it was like, I'm like, how awesome is that? And he's like, yeah, it took me a while to bring humor into my work. There's a lot of, you know, judgment about bringing humor to meditation. Yep. And he's like, but that's just who I am. And so it's, I love that. I mean, it's kind of like showing up in a couple of recent conversations. And I think it's such an important factor. Like this, yes, we go deep, but it doesn't have to be so serious.
Yeah. And we get to have fun. Even the Dalai Lama and these masters talk about this. You know, we're here to enjoy yourself. And I feel like when we first start the path, the spiritual path, we do kind of take ourselves sometimes too seriously because we really care and we want to get it right, because we don't realize you can't really get it wrong. But that's right. We figure that out as we go. And yeah, the humor piece is vital. And anybody who is on the mentorship with me, a lot of my students will say, oh, she's getting really goofy. That means we're going to go really deep. Cause it's like the goofier I get, once we go into that journey, like really powerful things happen. And it's just, yeah, it's good to just remember to breathe, have fun with it. And yeah, just have a good time, because it's enough as it is. You know, you can invoke grace and ease and humor and still get your butt kicked. So might as well go ahead and invoke that and have it be a little less intense.
You know? I love that. Why don't you share where people can find out more about your mentorship and all the different ceremonies that you do?
Yeah, I'd love to. Well, my website is bloompost.com. Just my name, bloompost.com. And the mentorship information is on there. You can also find, I have a couple books as well. I have a book that is all about shamanic journeying and animal totems and plant totems and how to do this work for yourself. I also have a book about plant spirit totems that just came out, was published late last year. And you can find, you know, my YouTube channel and the mentorship. You can also go to bloompostmentorship.com. And there's just lots of info there, and please feel free to email. Most of my ceremonies are near Asheville, North Carolina, and around the Southeast, Atlanta, Athens, South Carolina, different places like that. And also, as I was talking to you before we started the interview, definitely time to get on the road again, probably. I used to travel and share ceremonies around the country, and haven't been doing that as much lately because I've just been really busy. But the best way to connect in and work with me, if you don't live here, to come to ceremony, is to check out the mentorship.
That is awesome. I think you're going to come to California. I have a feeling.
Yeah, I've been out there before and I had a really good time. And you know, it's funny what every single person out there said to me when we would finish the different ceremonies, like cacao ceremony or tobacco ceremony, people would say, you're so grounded. I was like, yeah, because I live in these mountains on the East Coast that ground me every day. And I was out there near the ocean, and the ocean is very, like, I just float when I get to the ocean. It's a great vibe. I love the California vibe, but they were really appreciating that I'm down to earth and grounded. And I really appreciated bringing that. and also experiencing the vibration of California, which is very different than the Appalachian Mountains. It's so fun to be in those different geographical energetics.
Yeah, it is. It's cool. And we definitely could use some of the mountain grounding out here. So, so come on out and visit us. That'll be fun. So we end each interview with four kind of questions that are based on my process called the Anatomy of Transformation. And the first pillar is called truth. And I really believe that our deepest truths have the power to heal us and move us forward and expand us in ways that sometimes we don't even realize. And so what is a deep truth that you've come across on your journey that really was profound for your life?
Oh, gosh. And just so everybody knows, she didn't tell me any of these questions before we started. So
yeah,
she,
you're on the spot, yeah, right? I'm on the
spot. So one of the deepest truths that's, gosh, there's been a lot, but I would say that miracles are our natural state of being. Mm. There's a heck of a lot more going on than the third dimensional experience. And also that often when we feel that we're completely breaking down, that truly is the birth of us leveling up, the birth of us as a healer, the birth of our new experience.
Mm, I love that. That is so beautiful. Do you know that I've asked this question like on the show ever since we began and I've never received the same answer? Isn't that cool?
Oh, that's very cool because there are so many truths
right.
that are true. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, and so I'm always like, just, I get goosebumps and I get inspired because there's always something new, you know what I mean? That's so yeah. beautiful and so true. And like, yeah. I just love it. So thank you for sharing that. It's a fun thing for me. Cause like every time I'm like, nope, that's totally new and different. And it just amazes me.
Yeah. So.
I love that. And the second pillar is release, which you can call integrate. but it's really like, I think when we discover a powerful truth, there are things that we had in our life, like constructs or belief systems or people or experiences that were kind of in the way for us to see that truth. And the truth to me is like a doorway in, you know, when we see these things for the first time, whether they've been present in our life for a long time or not, but like the seeing of it, there's always like things that then shift in our life. Right. And I call that things that we're going to release or things that we no longer believe because we've seen this deep truth. Mm-hmm. And so when you were discovering that, you know, these other realms and that there's just miracles and things way beyond this third dimension, what was it for you that you had to integrate or release, or what changed in your experience from discovering that?
Wow. Well, one of the things that came to my awareness and then I began shifting was recognizing that everything is programs. There's a lot of programming that we call beliefs or all the things you were talking about. It's very yeah. much, we don't recognize that it's actually a program that we're running. And what really came to my awareness throughout my journey is to continue to become aware of programs that I'm running. Especially beliefs and trying to think of specific examples, but even the program of somebody walking around unconsciously saying, I'm so confused, I'm so confused, I'm so confused. They're running that program and they will get that program affirmed as long as they keep running that program. So for me, what cleared and released and transformed was being asleep to the programs that I'm running and recognizing that I've taken on a lot of things that were not necessarily my truth, and to really continue to unenmesh from what doesn't resonate for me and find my own way and find my own truth and find my own resonance, even if nobody else around me was having that experience.
That's so awesome. And in that, like, I mean, I love how you say programming, because I definitely, that's my experience as well, is that we adopt this programming and we're not conscious of it. And we're living through that programming. And when you start to see it, which you so beautifully said, meaning then you don't have to live from it anymore because it's not unconscious in your space. there's like a clearing that happens. It's like there's this opportunity for what I call my third pillar, which is experience, like a new experience of life. Because if we're literally not running the same programming, then our experience of ourself, of what we engage with every day, starts to change. And so what was different about your experience after you were able to be aware of the programming?
Freedom. And I don't mean flag flying, apple pie eating July 4th. You know what I'm saying? I mean internal, the truest form of the word freedom. The attachments to people, places, situations, and things that were not supportive for me or for them, just completely transmuting and transforming the belief systems of my lineage or other institutions that just didn't work for me anymore, cleansing, transmuting, and transforming with love and with forgiveness for myself and for others in such a way that I've begun to just become more and more and more and more free. Truly free, so that the insecurities drop away, the self-consciousness drops away, the anxiety has transmuted and transformed, the worry, the stress, all the stuff that people are dealing with that impedes true, true expansive freedom. And so that's what's different for me. And for me, that freedom is also expansiveness and joy and the things that people are striving for. But freedom is such a layered experience. I wish I could come up with the juiciness of it with the words, but it's definitely an internal sense of just really living life without regret, living life with just really, my life is a spiritual adventure. And that it's just wonderful, that sense of really, really living before you die.
Ooh, I love that. That's powerful. Yeah, it's almost like there is the feeling, it's a word beyond freedom. Like mm-hmm. It's like freedom is, you know, we use freedom because that's the closest thing to describe it. But mm-hmm. as you're saying this, I'm just feeling it's almost like indescribable, right? Mm-hmm. That layered mm-hmm. experience. And by you just saying the words you said, I could feel that mm-hmm. it's beyond that, right? Yeah. Yeah. Beyond anything we have language for. I always say words fail, words fail in the end, a lot of times, you know, some of the experiences that people have, like there's no words for it. And it's truly something you have to feel. And so the fourth pillar is align. And when we are changing our experience, we're literally changing our frequency. We're changing, you know, what we attract into our life, what we experience, like how we see things, how we experience life and other people and ourselves. And align to me is really that it can be community. It can be aligning with spirit. It can be aligning with so many different things that holds us kind of in this place where we can keep going through initiations and growth periods and where we can keep expanding. So mm-hmm. what for you is your alignment? And I know one of the things you might say.
So what is my alignment?
What keeps you in alignment with your current understanding of life and yourself and expansion? And where do you go to feel aligned? Right.
Oh yeah. Well, definitely ceremony.
Yeah. I'm like, she's going to say ceremony.
Yeah. I wasn't quite understanding the question at first, but yeah, for me, ceremony, which can be as simple as sitting at my altar, my mesa, and doing personal work, ritual, prayer, people have different words for it. And for me, that's my place to go and find. Actually, the irony is that that's the place where I go and kind of play with losing quote unquote control of my alignment so that it's easier to align when I walk through the world. So when I work in certain ceremonies with certain medicines that actually I have to really breathe into my belly and keep bringing myself back into a place of groundedness because I feel altered. Even with cacao, which is just the basis of chocolate, it's not psychotropic, but you feel a bit altered and the heart rate speeds up and the blood is flowing faster. So sometimes people will get really twitchy or anxious, or not usually, not in a bad way, but they'll feel all this energy and they're not sure how to ground it. That's what I'm trying to say. And so when I step into ceremonies, oftentimes I'm actually creating a situation where I have to practice grounding so that when I'm out in the world and something throws me off, I immediately know what to do to bring myself back into alignment because I have practiced feeling ungrounded in ceremony. So it's kind of ironic that I go to ceremony to be in alignment while often practicing ungrounding so that I practice to align. I hope that's
I love that.
Yeah. And that really is, it's anything that you make a practice, then when something flows in and you're not, you weren't ready for that, you have that practice to fall back on, because a lot of people fall back on habits, and habits are unconscious and they're not necessarily supportive. So you want to make your habits conscious and purposeful that so that they are practices. And that could be, you know, anything. But for me, it's recognizing how to get grounded in each moment when something comes along that somebody annoys me or triggers me or somebody pulls out in front of me in traffic, you know, just being in a long line and being late, just the day-to-day chop wood, carry water. I go into ceremony to remember and to tap in with my guides and practice being ungrounded and moving the energy in such a way so that every day I am more prepared and remembering that support and can get back into alignment almost instantly because it's a practice now.
That is like really powerful. I've never considered that. And that's really, really great. Thank you for sharing that. I feel like that's super impactful. And it's having that ability to do that, I think is, you know, because the world has a lot going on all the time. And so being practiced in that, I can see the extreme value in that.
Oh yeah. Because it's very much about intention and it's so easy to just go about life unconsciously and unintentionally. And we get busy and we get stressed and things are going on. I know I live in the world too. Right. You know, having these practices has definitely supported me in invoking and bringing into my life, like we were talking about, grace and ease. And even if something shows up that doesn't feel good, I know how to be with it in such a way that it just is a blip. It's just a blip. I mean, or I go, oh, that's interesting. That could have really triggered me. All right. But now I'm just going to laugh and have a good time with it. So yeah, intention. It's a big one.
It's so good. Thank you so much for sharing your experience and for being with me here today and for all, being with all of us and sharing your gifts. It's just been insightful and the alignment has felt beautiful and the connection has felt amazing. And everything that you shared just really touched my heart. So sometimes it's like this beautiful moment of just like deep connection and it feels like time flies by. And that was my experience. And so I'm really grateful that you were here with us.
Oh, me too. It's like coming together with an old friend from lifetimes and just chatting again over tea, over the internet this time.
Totally. It was. It's just, you're incredible. And the work you're doing is amazing. And I just, you know, urge anybody listening that feels called to it to reach out and, you know, maybe give the mentorship a try. And it's powerful. And you are a gift to the world. So thank you so much for being here on the show.
No, and thank you. I really appreciate that reflection. And I'm grateful that you are bringing people to the world to bring us all together. And as we talked about, just show that you're not alone in your experience, anybody listening. And I'm super grateful for the messengers and the teachers and the things that you're doing. So thank you. And thank you so much for inviting me to be here. This has been a lot of fun.
Let's talk about taking some serious action. If you're new to the Take Action section, we take a new action each week to move closer to our intentions. So our Take Action item this week is to listen to the free guided meditation that you can get at downloadmiracles.com. It's a quick 20-minute meditation to bring you closer to your own internal guidance. You can listen to the guided meditation as much as you want. Some like to do it either at the start of their day or at the end of their day. Either way, whatever works for you is best. I'll be back next week with more positive vibes and powerful awakenings. Sending you love and wishing you a great week ahead.